So maybe to start, could you just like introduce yourself to us for those who don't know who you are?
I'm glad to, Aaron. Thanks so much for having me join you here. This is a great honor. My name is David Mathis, and I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota. My wife is Megan. We have twin boys, Carson and Coleman, who are 10 and a half, and our daughter Gloria will be 6 this coming Saturday. So excited for that. And then our daughter Mercy is 3 and a half. So 4 kids. I'm one of the pastors at Cities Church, which is a Southern Baptist church, even though we don't use that word Southern Baptist a lot in Minnesota or Wisconsin, which I think this is still right, that of all the state conventions, that Minnesota, Wisconsin is the least Southern Baptist per capita in the country, which is great. So we get a lot of Southern Baptist energy and support in our little Twin Cities church plant. So Cities Church has been together for 6 years now. January will be our 6th anniversary. And one of the pastors there, and my full-time job is at Desiring God. Find us online, desiringgod.org. Desiring God is a ministry founded by John Piper. You may be familiar with the name John Piper. And so I'm an editor at Desiring God. Do some writing there, do some teaching there, do editing at Desiring God. And in addition to that, I'll do a little adjunct professing. I'm an adjunct professor, whatever it'd be called. At Bethlehem College and Seminary here in Minneapolis. And even though, so I grew up in South Carolina, you might hear it in my voice. I have been Southern Baptist since 9 months before I was born. There's a joke about that growing up. Even though I'm from South Carolina, I have become a Twins and Vikings fan. Though, because I am not a lifelong Minnesotan, I actually like the Packers too. I have some really good friends who are from one good friend I do baseball with who's from Green Bay, another really good friend who's from the Kohler, Howard's Grove area, and then Aaron's a friend as well. So I can't cheer against the Packers unless they're playing against the Vikings. And you know what? By the way, I kind of like the Brewers too. I love watching Devin Williams pitch. Though if they play the Twins, I am going for the Twins for sure. But in college football, that's the one thing I could not leave behind when I moved to Minnesota is my parents went to Clemson University. I grew up on Saturdays going to Death Valley to watch Clemson play football. And so my one little vestige of growing up that I still traffic in a lot is Clemson football. And I hear you guys got a really good football team over there in Madison as well.
That's great. Well, thanks for sharing that. I'm glad to know that you're okay with the Packers. Is I love the Packers, so I can't say the same about cheering for the Vikings, though, unfortunately.
That's okay. I don't expect it. I know the scene here in Minnesota, Wisconsin. It is amazing. All these years, it has been amazing to watch Aaron Rodgers. He is a phenomenal football player.
He is, yeah. And then so our friendship started through Scott and Bethany, who are great friends of Red Village Church. Bethany was a member for a long time and just a really still is just a very sweet lady. And she married Scott, who's one of your writers on Desiring God. And so wonderful having Scott preach for us at a pretty consistent basis. And he's such a great communicator of God's word. And so we're thankful for our connection to you through them.
Absolutely. You know, when I should have remembered when I said Desiring God, you probably thought the name Scott Hubbard before you thought the name John Piper.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah, well, we absolutely love and adore Scott and Bethany. And So, David, we were going to have a conference with you in March, and then the world shut down. And the conference was going to be on your very helpful book, Habits of Grace. And so, do you mind just sharing just maybe a little snapshot on that book? I'm assuming and hoping most of our church have now by now read the book, but just maybe just talk a little bit just about Habits of Grace.
I would love to. We probably all have these memories from last March of like when the dominoes were falling and things were shutting down. It's like March Madness is canceled and the NBA is canceled. And for me, one of those dominoes was getting a text from you, Aaron, saying, I think we have to cancel the conference. And at that point, it was clear. I wasn't fighting it. It was so obvious we had to do this. Maybe it'll work out someday and I can meet everybody at Red Village face to face. But I love talking about the spiritual disciplines. Even though spiritual disciplines isn't perhaps my favorite term, I'm not out to lead a crusade against the term spiritual disciplines, but I would prefer to talk about the means of grace. And what I mean by that is that God has revealed to us what his means are, what his channels are for his ongoing grace in our lives. It's like the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wanted to meet Jesus. And so he didn't just go walk around in the wilderness and hope that he happened to bump into Jesus. He knew the place where Jesus was going to be passing. He heard, like, Jesus is coming along the way. This will be his means. This will be his pathway. And so he went to the pathway to have that encounter of grace. And, you know, he got up in the tree and he waited for Jesus where Jesus was going to be passing. And in a similar way, God reveals to us his channels of grace. And that doesn't mean that he can't just out of the blue strike us in the oddest of times and oddest of ways with with clarity about him, with some remembrance of scripture in our souls, with something to strengthen us in a Christian walk. But his typical pathways, he's revealed. He's told us where he loves to meet his people again and again in these means of grace, or sometimes our modern language is about spiritual disciplines. And that term is fine as long as we don't put the accent too much on our technique, our doing. One thing I like about means of grace, or talking about our habits of grace, is that we want to meet God in regular ways in the places that he's revealed that he'll meet us. And so over the years in doing college ministry with a ministry called Campus Outreach in South Carolina, and then here in Minnesota, and then at Bethlehem College and Seminary, they assigned me several years ago to teach the class on spiritual disciplines for the collegiates. And I found it helpful over time to try to simplify the long list. I mean, perhaps you've felt the weight before of, well, I need to be reading the Bible and memorizing the Bible. I need to be praying privately and praying with others. And there's fasting and there's journaling and all these different. I can come up with a quick list of 15 or 20 spiritual disciplines. Do I need to be doing all the spiritual disciplines at once? And so I felt burdened by that. I felt like I could never check all those boxes at the same time. And one thing I found helpful over time and was trying to communicate, all right, what are the principles at work here? You know, beneath these disciplines or these practices, what are the principles at work? And it sure seemed to me that there were three main principles that underlie all these various practices that can be helpful, life-giving. They can be legalistic. We could put our faith in the wrong place with the practices, or they could be expressions of faith. And those three principles are essentially hearing God's voice in his word, responding to him in prayer, and belonging to his body in the fellowship of the church. And so over and over again, as I thought through, how do we group these various spiritual disciplines, these practices, whether they're examples in scripture or time-tested practices of the saints in church history, they all seem to cluster with one or more of those kind of three loci, so to speak: word, prayer, fellowship. And so I love encouraging Christians, before we get into the practicals of what is fasting and how do you fast and what is biblical reading and meditation and study and what kind of things that you do there in terms of having the Bible in your life and what are the various aspects of fellowship, I love talking at the principle level of are you hearing God's voice? Are there avenues for his speaking in his word in scripture into your life? What is the prayer response, talking back to him in reverence and responding back to him in faith? And then what are the dynamics like in terms of the corporate, the fellowship, the belonging to his body?
Yeah, that's really helpful. And I love how your book is habits. You know, they're trying to make that just the habit of our life to just put ourselves where we know the Lord is and where how he works in our lives. And so I really appreciate your book. And I do hope, you know, if you're watching from the church, if you haven't read it, it's worth reading. It's definitely worth reading. David, last winter you had a helpful blog that I'd like to maybe talk a little bit about. It kind of relates to, you know, the habits of grace, was particularly against fighting the winter blues. And so that's something where your part of the world in Minneapolis and my part of the world in Madison, that's something that we know winter can be cold and can be a little lonely. Seasonal depression is a very real thing that, you know, many can struggle with. Days are short. We don't see the sun a lot. So What thoughts do you have for us just on, you know, fighting the winter blues, and maybe in particular, so this year with, you know, the COVID world that we live in, where we're probably already feeling a lot of fatigue and loneliness. So what thoughts do you have for us just on habits of grace, in particular fighting against the winter blues?
Aaron, it's such a joy to talk with you, like of all people in the world, about this. Because you're the one that suggested that I tackle the topic. You wrote to me and said, hey, you know, what does your church do about winter blues and seasonal affective, and you had any thoughts on it? And I was like, that's a great question for Minnesotans and Wisconsinites. And would you say Wisconsinites, Wisconies? How do you say it?
Either one. We're happy either one.
We need to know in our part of the world, because I mean, by the research, like as you go up with the latitude, the case numbers of the officially diagnosable seasonal affective disorder, SAD, or the subsyndromal seasonal affective disorder, SSAD, they rise. It is related to the sun, whether that's sunlight exposure or whether it's temperature and how that affects our lives in various ways. I think it's probably, there's complex dynamics here. So this is not just an urban legend or something going on in our mind. And there's research behind it in terms of, it's pretty significant. So the major category, this is a category of depression. With all of the dangers and morbidities of depression, the SAD category, I think it affects, last research I saw was about 6% of the population in the United States. And then the SSAD, the subsyndromal form, which we often call winter blues, or maybe we'll very casually refer to seasonal affective. And that's probably what we mean if we're not talking about a major depression category. That affects about 15% of the population. And that's all across the United States. That's when you throw the sunny states in. So it's even higher for Minnesota and Wisconsin and places like Alaska. And so it's something to seriously consider. I mean, I think even the most buoyant, hopeful personalities in a place like Minnesota and Wisconsin are going to feel some of the symptoms of seasonal affective throughout the long year. And so for me personally, I come at this, perhaps from a strange angle. I'm typically more of a buoyant type personality. I have not been through any long season of depression myself. But even for somebody like me, who's really on the hopeful side, and in some ways incurably optimistic at points, and, you know, optimistic to a dangerous portion, even for somebody like me, I feel it in February. The winters here are long, and it takes a toll on our bodies and on our brains over time to have the lack of sunlight we do, what that means for kind of the natural distancing that happens in relationships during the winter, just because it's not nice outside, you know, it's cold, and we stay away from each other. And so I do think it's something for all of us to consider here in Minnesota, in Wisconsin, in places like that. Think, all right, you know, the winter's coming. This is one thing that struck me in moving here from South Carolina 17 years ago is South Carolina, it was, you know, there was a kind of a season that we called winter because Christmas came, but there wasn't any snow. It was just a little grayer. It was in the 40s or whatever. And so there wasn't nearly the change. There wasn't nearly the pronounced season of winter that we have in Minnesota and Wisconsin. I think it's important for us as humans and as Christians to think, all right, winter is very distinct here. And this matches with our lives. We treat winter so distinct. It is totally different in road construction and in all the construction industry, right? And how we go about our lives is so different here. And I think that's worth consideration in our spiritual lives, that we think, okay, this is coming. It's real. And this is perhaps a call for us. It's a reminder for us that we should be vigilant about the kinds of things that God has called us to as Christians as accessing God's means of grace. So just as we talked about habits of grace, the winter becomes kind of a test case for us. You could call it a challenge or trial, or you could call it an opportunity. That as the winter comes, however we're being propped up by beautiful green plants and sunny days, And as that is minimized and goes away, it's worth us asking the question, all right, am I vigilant in God's call on me as a Christian, in the kinds of day in and day out practices that God would call me to as a believer? And perhaps one thing I should say about that is I don't think this is merely a spiritual problem that we handle only with spiritual avenues. I do think there's a both and going on here. Like, just as this is discernible in the research, there are real life practical things that you should do that are just human and that go well along with the Christian or the spiritual. So for instance, in some sense, physically, there's a relationship to sunlight. I think the research I've seen, again, I'm a pastor. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a licensed psychologist, though, thanks to Aaron's prompting, I have been in touch with a couple of medical doctors and a licensed psychologist about, you know, this material related to winter blues and to pursuing the habits of grace. But from everything I've seen, there's always this effect of sunlight. And so one thing for us to think about just on the physical side is trying to make the most of that. If some people get a sun lamp or they're inside of their home, one thing I try to do is when it's a bright day in the winter, I'll try to get a walk outside. You know, if it's in the 20s or 30s and it's warm enough for me to walk outside, that's a great thing to do, is to get out and get some sunlight. And our bodies and brains, God made them that way to be conditioned and to be set in their right balance related to the changing of the sunlight. So that's an aspect. Another thing is, we live such sedentary lives in 21st century. And it's particularly difficult to move our bodies, to get bodily exertion, bodily activity in the ways that we need for healthy human life during the wintertime. You know, we're cooped up in our igloos up here in Minnesota, Wisconsin. And if you can try to take some modest steps to get regular exercise, that's an important part of the body that God made. God made our bodies in general, you know, apart from the tragedy of disability, God made our bodies to move. We're at our healthiest when we move. Like, our brains are fed by the flow of blood as we move, and our heart rate goes up. And so exercise has a part to play in our psychological and then spiritual health. So there's exercise, there's sunlight. Perhaps diet is a consideration. So there's a host of physical things. And some things you can see in the research is how important relationships are, because there are hormones in the brain, serotonin, oxytocin, that are affected by human relationships. So human relationships are important as well. So all that is kind of just a word for me as a pastor to say, don't ignore the life of the body. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a personal trainer. I'm not a psychologist. I don't mainly come with physical solutions. But I do want to say, God made the world. He made us like that. And we should give due attention to those physical solutions, like exercise and diet and sunlight, sleep, relationships. But then as a pastor, as someone who teaches the Bible, like you, Aaron, I love speaking to Christians and saying, as these months come upon us, it's a kind of call. It's a kind of reminder. Have we lapsed on our habits of grace? What's out of tune in our lives spiritually? We might make it through the summer months without feeling spiritually sluggish, even when our habits have let up, say. But winter is a fresh test. And so this is a great time of year here. You and I are talking here in mid-November. This is a great time to ask ourselves, you know, where are we at in terms of access to God's word? You know, are we hearing God's voice? I mean, we have just been through this ridiculous election season, right? We have heard so many voices everywhere we turn on a screen, every access to media. There has been such fever pitch voices, people just running around with their heads on fire. And we should ask ourselves, like, am I hearing God's voice? That's that 30-minute plus, right, sermon each week is so valuable. But in a world like ours, where we're hearing these voices so intentional and so fever pitch all the time, it's not enough to hear a single sermon each week. Is God speaking into our heads and through our eyes on the written page on a regular and daily basis? So access to God's word is one, and rehearsing the same three again, right? Prayer. Are we then responding to God's word to us in the relationship of prayer? And one thing to say related to seasonal affective and winter blues would be pray to God about it. I mean, it'd be a very easy thing for us to go through the winter, and we try to do our sleep and our exercise, and we try to do these various habits. And do we ever ask God, say, Father, would you, I know the winter can be a harder time, and I'm not presuming that it will be, because you are God of grace, and you're God who loves to meet his children's need. Maybe you have appointed a harder winter for me, or maybe you would give me the grace to move right through this one in some fresh way or with some fresh hope. And so I would say pray, ask God about this very thing. If you've experienced it in the past, I mean, most of us who have lived adult lives in this climate for long enough, we have noticed symptoms and effects of it. And so I think it's a matter, let's make it a matter of prayer. And then the final one is related to the body of Christ. It can be so easy, I know. Like the temperature drops down into the teens or down near zero, or we get a fresh foot of snow. And you know what? We all still go to the grocery store. We make it out to Target. We make it to work. But then somehow that becomes an excuse to not be part of whatever fellowship there is in the church. Now, I know we're in the pandemic, so it's unusual, right? You know, Zoom is a part of this. And our text messages are so important. And making calls to check on each other. And the different ways that we're doing corporate worship here during the season. But it's really easy to bug out on those things when we're not bugging out on other things. Those are just poor excuses. And the clarion call here coming to the winter would be, you know what, fellowship, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are a vital means of God's grace in the Christian life year round. And I think we can say all the more in the winter. And, in one sense, that's just a reminder to stay faithful in your engagement with the body of Christ in various ways. And then another thing is to think, how can you help somebody else? Maybe if you're not one of the ones that feels more prone to seasonal affective or winter blues, to keep that in mind and think about brothers and sisters you know well who do feel the effects significantly. Like, can you stay in touch with them? Can you check in with them? Can you initiate toward them and help be a means of grace to them in this season?
Yeah, that's all really helpful. And yeah, I think like even like just calendaring things can be helpful. Yes. You know, like to make sure we do the things we really want to do. And so, you know, like our Bible reading, you know, hope if it's a quiet time, you know, it's part of our normal calendar. We're going to read the Bible every morning before we go to work. But maybe some of the, you know, other things you mentioned with like exercise, putting that on the calendar, you know, I'm going to exercise 3 days a week because this is just important. And something about the glory of God and endorphins and you know, just putting that as part of that calendar. Or one day a week, you're going to, you know, write letters to people in the church or do a Zoom call one day a week or whatever it may be, just to put that things on a calendar. It's like, there's things that hopefully we want to do. And the calendar just kind of helps provide us with some structure to make sure it does happen. Okay. Otherwise, I think if we don't plan it, it might not happen because when it's cold out, I don't want to do a lot of those things. I don't have the energy. But if I have it on my calendar, it's much more likely I'm gonna actually do the things I do want to do.
I had this really memorable conversation with my wife 5 years ago this past summer. I remember it was late May 2015. We're out for a walk, you know, date night or whatever, out for a walk. And I was just complaining about how, I would love to exercise if I had enough time. I just don't have time for it. And she just fired right back at me. She's like, it's just an issue of priorities. And I really felt convicted. You know what? If I'm not doing the basic human and Christian stuff, then there's probably some things in my life that are taking up time that don't need to be there. And so I just tried to reorient. All right, here. I need to make sure there's, on a regular basis, adequate sleep. That I'm not burning both ends of the candles on a regular basis and being faithless in that way. Exceptions are going to come. Kids are up late at night. There's a hospital visit. The exceptions are going to come. But in general, I want to get adequate sleep. And then if I'm not getting a little bit of bodily movement 3 times a week, you know, I'm just talking some of the minimums here. And I'm not getting time in the Word enough where I can leisurely and unhurriedly listen to God's voice in His Word. If you're doing a quick 2-minute reading and you're checking the box and you're out the door, I would encourage you to try to set up a regular situation where you can be unrushed. It doesn't have to be hours. It doesn't have to be dozens of minutes, but to linger in God's Word and be unrushed. And so those are just, I felt like, some of the givens that need to be in place in my life. And if a few other things at the tail end of the triage of importance end up getting dropped off, then that's really good for me. Because there's some basic things about being human and then being a Christian that need to be part of day in and day out life.
Yeah, that's great. So Advent is right around the corner here. And you just wrote a really helpful book that as a church, we're actually starting to give out this coming Sunday.
Wow.
So, this is for anyone in the church that would like a copy of this book. And so this could be a great way for us to kind of help, you know, get our minds and hearts ready, not only just for anticipation of Christmas and the coming of Christ and anticipation of His return, but also just maybe to get some new habits as far as our fighting against winter blues. So I was just curious, you know, is there any thoughts you want to pass on for this new book that you just wrote for us? I actually got a copy right here.
an interesting thing about it, I don't write books very quickly. So Habits of Grace, that was stuff that I've taught for years and then slowly came together. I think going back to 2007 is maybe when I started writing regular Advent meditations. And at the time, back then, 05, 06, 07, I was in seminary. I was doing a lot of Greek exegesis. And one thing I really came to love while doing all that study in theology and church history and exegesis, I just came to love what's called Christology, the person of Christ, the doctrine of the person of Christ. This old book by a Scottish theologian named Donald MacLeod is called The Person of Christ. And it's like my respite. I just love to go there. And John Piper has a book called Seeing and Savoring Jesus Christ, which I loved. It's probably my favorite Piper book of all times. And in all the complexity of this doctrine and that doctrine and this in church history and that and all the things to do in our life, the simplicity of lingering over the person of Christ, who Jesus is as fully God, as fully man, in one spectacular person who came for us and demonstrated the Father's love for us and the gift of His life, and took on a full humanity, fully human mind, fully human emotions, fully human will, lived in a fully human environment. And so I just would love taking, I love taking Advent as my annual reminder to meditate on the glory of Christ. It's my annual time to bone up on Christology. And so year after year, I'd return to some of those basic Christological themes. And there is so much to see there. You know, you can read through the gospel accounts of the birth of Christ in a few minutes. You do it quick in Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 2 and be done with it. And there is a lifetime of glory to be seen in the details there. And as that, of course, expands back to Old Testament prophecies and moves forward in what we see about Jesus and His life and in the Pauline epistles. So there's so much to be said about Jesus that is relevant to Advent. And over the years, I write these little Advent meditations at Desiring God. And a couple years ago, the Good Book Company came to me, and they had seen the meditations. I guess they had seen the pattern of Advent meditations, and they thought I should put them together for a little Advent devotional. And so I went back and looked and tried to think, is there a common theme that brings these together? And as I looked over the years at the kinds of things that had drawn my attention in Advent, the word unexpected jumped out. There is just so much that is unexpected that's going on when you have eyes to see that's going on in that first Christmas. I mean, just God's unexpected patience that he waited so long, like to promise David this great offspring that would come and then wait 1,000 years. Or the prophecies of Isaiah, 700 years after Isaiah's prophecies, 400 years after the conclusion of the Old Testament canon in the book of Malachi. And so that God would wait with such patience. And then as he began to move in the world to bring his son about, he comes to an unwed mother? What? In this out-of-the-way place that nobody's ever heard of in the first century outside the immediate surroundings called Nazareth? And that they move to Bethlehem and that there's no room for this great king. And so they have to put him in a manger. And then the dignitaries of the day don't come, but blue-collar shepherds and pagan astrologers called magi come from hundreds of miles away. It is an unexpected story. And there is glory in the unexpected details. And so I love reflecting on that theme, on God's peculiar glory at Christmas. And so that's what the book is. It's 24 days, beginning December 1 and going through December 24. And it's trying to prepare our hearts for Christmas. And in particular, the theme that drives it most for me is that unexpected, peculiar glory of Jesus Christ in his first coming. And so that's been kind of my motif over the years. And I'm excited to get to share it with some people here this December.
Yeah, it's great. We're looking forward to, you know, as our church reading through this. And I hope that is something as a church that we do and read through this book. And hopefully it can help us, you know, kind of start the winter off right, fighting the winter blues and having some of those habits of just reading and meditating on the person that is Jesus Christ. And, you know, for the glory of him, do all things, including stay in the word and prayer and fellowship and exercise and eating healthy. And, you know, whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, all for the glory of our great Christ who came from us. Yeah.
That's great. Advent is a fantastic practical application here of getting ready for the long Minnesota, Wisconsin winter. Do Advent well. That'd be a great start to approaching the winter blues. Yeah. Well, coming up this winter.
That's great. Well, is there any other thoughts that you might have for our church before we can let you get back to your day? But anything else you wanted to add to this discussion?
I've heard so many good things over the years from Scott Hubbard. And it's been such a joy meeting Aaron here in the last couple of years. And I'm excited to meet many of you face-to-face someday, maybe after the pandemic.
Yeah,
we'll get over there to Madison and worship with you on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. And, you know, Lord willing, we'd love to try to get that conference on the Habits of Grace, just to really spend time with you and just to be, you know, sitting underneath your teaching and your wisdom and your leadership. Our church would be very eager, you know, for that to happen, so. Hopefully, Lord willing, we can work that out sometime soon.
Look forward to it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, David. And may God bless you in your ministry. And may you not grow weary in doing good. Your ministry is bearing a lot of fruit in a lot of places. And we're really just thankful to God for you.
And, thank you, brother. Enjoy talking to you.
Ministering to our church. Yeah. All right. Take care.